Hello and welcome to Any Given Game Day with Mike Carlson. I am joined by the man named after the show, Mike Carlson, and by John Balf. Now, gentlemen, don't say hello yet. Just don't say hello yet. We have a little bit of explaining to do, okay? Because obviously we had a show called NFL Only Better, which has ran for 6 seasons over the Betfair Podcast Network. Wonderful time there. Lots of you have listened. Big fans of the show. It was wonderful. Unfortunately, in May of this year, Betfair informed me that I was being made redundant. And with that, they were scaling back on some of their podcasts. Now, their football and racing podcasts are obviously huge, do really, really well. So we had to decide whether we would continue as an independent podcast. We spoke a little bit about that, and we did hope to get a sponsor for a new podcast. But as Mike can attest to, he has unfortunately been a little bit ill. So we kind of put the cast on pause, really, gentlemen. And last week, we just decided, let's bring it back. Let's go for it. Lots of you reached out on Twitter and through various emails and things like that and asked us if the pod was coming back. So here we are, gentlemen. I'll send it to you, Mike. The show is, of course, named after.
Well, it's great to be here. It's great to be back with you guys. I'm really sorry I missed the game in Dublin, but you can't see that I'm in a hospital room because the 1961 NFL starting quarterbacks are behind me and taking up all the room. But I have been in for quite a while. You can tell a few changes cosmetically in my appearance, but the brain is still working as well as it ever did, which is not necessarily very well. And the mouth is still moving a little bit slower, which will probably be something everybody appreciates out there. So, yeah, but it's great to be back. It looks like a great season coming up. There's been a lot we could have talked about. And there will be a lot to talk about starting with today, probably more than we can handle in 45 or so minutes.
Exactly. That's wonderful. Thanks for that, Mike. And look, we all wish you best of luck over everything. John, you also look ill, but you're not. That's just your general kind of complexion.
Exactly. It's my pallor. It's been like this for the last 20 odd years. This is how I wake up, Kieran.
Yeah, if we're not going to put the show on YouTube yet because I haven't got a YouTube as yet.
Yeah, we need hair and makeup, but just makeup for you and me, Kieran.
Just makeup for you.
But I did note there was quite a nice positive reception on social media, on Twitter and whatnot. I was going to say back by popular demand, but I guess we can just kind of say back by demand, perhaps. Maybe that's the more appropriate of these things. But yeah, it's a delight to be back. The first show we've obviously recorded since the Super Bowl preview back many, many months ago. But it's nice to be back in the saddle and, yeah, to hopefully pass the time for some of our listeners for 30, 40 minutes and to give them some potentially terrible NFL gambling tips. But we'll see how it goes and we'll hope for the best.
And the really horrible thing is that, you know, if we were going to play the Three Stooges, there's nobody left to do Mo, much less Larry.
Right. Look, let's get into it. Last night's game, Dallas-Philadelphia, very, very strange game. Mike, I'll let you talk about the game. A lot of stuff happened. Player rejected before the first snap. A crazy high-scoring first half and then basically nothing scored in the second half. All very, very strange things happening. But, Balf, obviously, you follow trades quite closely. You love talking about them. The headline was Micah Parsons. Like, what do you think is going on there, lads?
Well, I wrote a big piece for it and put it up on Medium. The piece is like a Medium friend, so you should be able to access it without having to join Medium, although joining Medium is not necessarily a bad thing. This was, I think the title was Angry Man, Angry Old Man, or Old Man Angry at Clouds, procrastinates, and you know that. I think Jerry was not building for the future necessarily. I think Jerry misplayed this as badly as he misplayed Dak Prescott's contract because he doesn't make any those decisions, and rather than deal with it, he thought he would recapitulate the famous trade with Minnesota where Jimmy Johnson got a whole passel of players and picks in return for Herschel Walker and built the early 90s Cowboys out of that. He got two first-round picks, which is good because he can use one of them, you know, like next year to trade up for one of the shiny hood ornaments that he gets so, you know, enamored of, another C.D. Lamb, say. And then he still has another one the following year. And Kenny Clark's a hell of a good football player. And fills a hole that Mozzie Smith couldn't fill. So, you know, in that sense, they were decent moves. But Dallas is not one player away from contending. And Micah Parsons, in honesty, doesn't make them any worse. Because take Myles Garrett, for example. You know, Myles Garrett's better as a pass rusher than Micah Parsons. Micah Parsons can be used more versatilely, although Dallas tended to keep him more at end, which is also what I think Green Bay is going to do more often than not. I think it made a certain amount of sense, but the media went crazy. I think the spread on the game went way up. 8.5 was probably more than Dallas deserved. And I said so. And somehow I hit the under, although it didn't look at halftime like I was going to. And bless C.D. Lamb for that drop.
He's the most drop passes in the NFL over the last five seasons as well. C.D. 3 in the second half, low scoring second half, John. But on the Parsons thing, John, were you shocked, appalled, outraged?
Well, I suppose a mixture of all of those emotions, Kieran. I didn't have any skin in this particular game, obviously. I'm not a Cowboys fan or a Green Bay fan. But I suppose my gut instinct was that I feel like Green Bay got him kind of on the cheap. To a large extent anyway, like two first round picks and a good but not, you know, elite defensive tackle, to me seems like a pretty good price for a 26-year-old pass rusher who is, as kind of Mike suggested there a moment ago, probably the second best pass rusher in the league. And I mean, I might be, and that is something that I am biased on. I do have a very strong opinion on who the best pass rusher in the league is. His team got 3 wins last season, but we'll get to that later. So I did think it was very cheap, but it should certainly, you know, galvanize Green Bay to quite an extent because he is such an outstanding player. But the other side of the coin from a Dallas perspective is they are getting those two first round picks. But if everything goes as it should or as Green Bay expects to, they won't be high value picks in the first round. So, I mean, I just can't envisage a scenario where the new assets that Dallas will get in as a result of this trade in those two first round picks, either of them combined will be anywhere near as effective on the field as Micah Parsons has been for them. And don't forget as well, Micah Parsons is still only 26 years old. He's got many, many years ahead of him. The only thing that I will say that puts a little bit of mystery potentially onto this trade is the rumors floating about that Parsons may have a somewhat sort of chronic injury to, I can't remember if it's his ankle or his knee. I suspect it's his ankle, but don't quote me on that one. But there are whispers going around that it's not just something that's going to heal up. It might be something that bothers him consistently over a long period of time and could result in missed games here and there. But I mean, that's a bridge to be crossed at a later date to put a bow on things, Kieran. I think Green Bay fans will be significantly more happy at the trade than this, and you know, look, let's pour one out for Dallas sports fans as well after losing Luka Doncic in like the same summer. This is it's been a bad time to be a Dallas sports fan, but hey, look, we'll see what happens, eh?
Too bad we don't have a Dallas sports fan anywhere around.
Okay, so we're just going to stop that now. We're just going to absolutely stop that vicious rumor, right? Because this is how rumors start, right? So
yeah. No.
I'm not allowed.
America's team, Kieran. You love him.
Cowboy Kieran.
Yeah.
I'm not under the old rules now, so you can both go fuck yourselves. So
well, it's going to be one of those podcasts, is it?
One of those. I'll have to change it to explicit on the.
So it got really interesting last night. It got really interesting in the game when the beginning of the game. When Jalen Carter spat into Dak Prescott's face.
Who spat first?
Well, Dak kind of did it first, didn't he?
Apparently, but kind of just, as a gesture, not an actual liquid assault.
Yeah. He spat towards him and smiled.
He spat in his general direction.
But the point is, don't get mad, get even, you know? Mm-hmm. And Carter's ejection, I think, really did affect the game because the strength of Dallas's offensive line is a really solid inner three, and two tackles who were passable but not great, and Carter's presence always allows the guy facing one of those tackles at the very least to be single blocked, and they didn't get the advantage of that. Plus, the pressure inside. So I think that was crucial, not to demean Dallas covering the spread, but.
I think they always looked, they were, to be honest, that they were going to cover spread. We'll move on from it. They looked good last night, Dallas. Probably a little unlucky if CeeDee Lamb.
If their receivers can learn to catch the ball again, they should be
better. Yeah, but this is a very early season Dallas Cowboys performance, if you ask me, where you're kind of like, oh, they look good. And by week four, we're basically talking about.
Yeah, if they're still dropping passes like that in week four, there's going to be trouble. I will just say one final thing to finish this off. I drafted George Pickens to my fantasy football team this season, so I apologize to Dallas Cowboys fans. He's going to have an awful season.
Oh, they did do a good job of controlling AJ Brown, which I didn't expect them to do, really. But there we go.
Okay. On the fly, very quickly, I don't want to cover the Chiefs Chargers game too much because obviously we're recording, now it's 7 o'clock. By the time people is likely to be over 8-13 about the Chiefs, the Chargers are 11-8. I might just get your views on it, John, if that's okay, or if you've got, we both have 60 seconds on it. Just so everyone knows, at the moment, still using the Betfair lines, but we will have a little look at others to see if there is some value. At the moment, it's Kansas City -3 and the over is 47.5. Honestly, lads, 60 seconds on it. Mike, what do you got? What do you think?
I was going to go under, and I think under 47.5 is better than under 46.5. I would tend to stay away from this game because no one knows what's going to happen when they play on the surface in Rio, how the two teams have adjusted. They're both everybody's a first time traveler there. And I will just note that the NFL basically said to the players, this place is a shithole. Don't go out of your hotel. And one of the players happened to tell the reporter, which then generated a whole line of free talk. But yeah, if you're going to go, I would take the under in this one.
Ooh, yeah, agreed on that. I think the Brazil factor cannot be ignored. The one thing I will say is that, Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl performance is somewhat fresh in our memories, but we also should remember they were 15-2 last season. And I think that type of experience can show up in close games like this. So I'd be favoring the Chiefs to win, but it should be a close game.
Okay. We're going to move to the 6 o'clock games because obviously on Sunday, many of you will be watching those. And Red Zone, I'm not quite sure if Red Zone on Sky will have ads. I think that we're getting the international version, which won't have ads. But if you are getting the Zone or whatever the other thing is, it should be noted that I think it's going to be about a minute of the 7 hours is technically going to be ads. So
you said that to me this morning, Kieran. I've since, I've read otherwise. Who knows? I'm not really sure.
How long have you heard?
I just saw them talking about it on an NFL show on YouTube, and they said it's going to be 1 minute of ads every 15 minutes for 7 hours.
Oh, that will destroy the game.
In the UK?
Let's hope it's not the UK.
It's not. We're getting a different feed, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so because the advertisers can't buy. They can't buy into.
That's true. It would just be U.S. commercials, wouldn't
market.
It?
Yeah.
So we might just get that. Well, I mean, we'll find out in a couple of days' time, obviously. So it's not
worth
stressing about it too much.
The NFL will find a way. They'll find a way.
We might just get that thing, though, where they put up a holding screen for a minute and NFL Red Zone will return in 60 seconds.
They better not do that. They better not do that. I said to John earlier, and I stole it from Twitter, I have to say, Mike, a really smart company now would come in and buy all the ads and then be like, and welcome to 7 hours of commercial-free football on NFL Red Zone, brought to you by whomever the company is, making sure. So they buy all the ads, and then everyone's like, oh, did you see so-and-so made sure we don't have ads? It's just a simple move. But anyway, I'm sorry.
Maybe we can do that. Great. If our podcast gets big enough, we can buy all the ads on Red Zone, hey?
I saw a number of really clever memes where just as someone's running for the end zone and about to be tackled, it cuts to a hamburger commercial or something like that. Really
they did
cool.
The Dolphins game when they did the flickeroo stuff and went by Gronk to score the touchdown. But right as he's about to cross the line, he goes to a Whopper. 6 o'clock games. Johnny B, Do you want to go first? Which game do you want to look at?
It might come as a great deal of surprise that throughout the course of this week, I've just been reading most about my Cleveland Browns, who are hoping to rebound to some extent from what was a miserable season last year. Spoiler alert, I think they will rebound, but not rebound to the point where they're a playoff contender. I still think that they will either finish third or fourth in the AFC North, as is tradition. But particularly this weekend, they are being visited by the AFC North rivals, Cincinnati Bengals. Now, most people will come into this game and they would look at Joe Burrow and they would look at guys like Trey Hendrickson and they would look at a Cleveland Browns team with a 40-year-old quarterback and, you know, who were so poor last season, when, like I said, winning only three games. And they'd be like, oh, that's going to be an easy win for the Bengals. This is, I will just backtrack slightly.
The
this
end
was,
of the preview is.
Yeah, this is the opening game. I think either 2 or 3 years ago, this was the opening game of the season as well. And Kieran, I remember very, very specifically that your best bet that week was Bengals to like decimate the Browns in week one, and the Browns won. So I think that might very well happen again. And why am I saying that? The Cleveland Browns have beaten the Cincinnati Bengals in 8 of the last 9 games they have played. That is an astonishing record for a team who would, you know, generally be considered on the rise, more so compared to Cleveland. Bengals are notoriously slow starters, as you will probably both agree with me, I think, if you would look at their history in the last several seasons. Burrow takes a while to get going. He's statistically among the best quarterbacks in the league, but it just never seems... They always seem to have to ramp up to get to that point as well. And they're an offense first team. They're very, very, this is the Bengals now. They're the offense first team, great receivers, great quarterback, but they were very, very weak in defense. I just think they disregard to a large extent that element of their team and just concentrate on blowing other teams out or winning high scoring games, which would also feed into the over-under in this game, I think, specifically. But I think the Cleveland Browns are a live, very, very live underdog in this, particularly with them with the 5.5. I think it's a 5.5 spread in this game.
It is, yeah.
So I think that's quite an attractive number for the Browns. I think the Browns might actually win this even outside of the spread, particularly playing at home. There are some troubles there. I'm looking at the new Browns left. Well, DeJuan Jones is moving over from right tackle to left tackle. He's going to be going up against Trey Hendrickson. If that doesn't work, Joe Flacco is going to be, he's 40 years old. He's a statue playing behind the center there. So he's not going to be able to evade someone like Trey Hendrickson if there's not effective resistance in front of him. So that's going to be one thing. Other side of the coin, Myles Garrett will be doing the exact same thing, trying to get to Joe Burrow. I just think the Browns at home, having played so terribly last season, they're going to go back to their roots. They're not going to be a throw first offense like they tried to be under, you know, one of the worst quarterbacks in the league and Deshaun Watson. And I think there's just a sense of, from what I gather, there's a much more optimistic sense in the Browns camp. Whereas last season, this day last season, I remember reading some reports from several of the Browns beat reporters, and they said that there was just this anxiety in the Browns training camp in the last week or the last 2 weeks before the game started, because they said everybody, including, like, I'm talking about the players and the coaching staff and the reporters and everyone who was there, they were aware that Deshaun Watson was not up to speed and that this offense was terrible. And it felt like the last day before execution, they were saying, because this little secret they had, they were trying to hide from everybody about how bad on the offensive side of the ball they were going to be, was about to be laid bare in front of national television. And that's what happened when they won 3 games throughout the course of the season. So they're not going to be brilliant. They're going to be better. They're going to win more than 3 games. They're going to go back to running the ball. They're going to play 2 tight end sets, just try and get short receptions. Flacco's going to go long. He's going to throw a lot of interceptions. It's going to be that kind of season for them. But I think against an potentially undercooked Cincinnati Bengals in week one, I think the Browns can get this done. And I certainly like the over 47.5, and I like the Browns on the spread.
Wow. It's a lot there, Mike. It's a lot to take in.
Yeah, I'm going to take a look at 2. I'm going to give you twice as much to take in the early slot. But it's basically the Houston at the Rams and San Francisco at Seattle, because they're very Houston and the Rams are very similar teams. Offensively, they got Nico Collins back. They drafted Jaden Higgins. They're going to have Nick Chubb running. I think they'll be much closer to the team they were 2 years ago in C.J. Stroud's rookie year than they were last year. But the Rams are a young team getting better quickly. They're not great, I don't think, at the receiving position, but they've got Puka Nacua. They drafted a tight end in Terrence Ferguson. Kyren Williams is one of the best running backs in the league, as opposed to, say, Chubb, who was. And they've got Stafford at quarterback. So I think that's strong. But the real part where they're strong is Houston's a good pass rush team. Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter, as good as any pair in the league. But the Rams come at you from everywhere. Fisk and Verse, you know, they drafted about two or three good young players who are going to help their pass rush. And I think that's going to create a lot of problems for Houston. So in that one, the Rams are giving 3. I kind of like them anyway. I think the game goes over 43-5. San Francisco and Seattle's really hard to judge because everybody looked at San Francisco's schedule and said it's really easy this year, so they're going to have a good record. They have a good track record in Seattle, who are home dogs by 1.5. Sam Darnold's a quarterback who proved himself last year, except in the last game of the season, and everybody said, well, you've unproven yourself. But all the injuries, playing on the road, you know, they're back almost to being Brock Purdy, McCaffrey, and Kittle as a three-man offensive show, and maybe Ricky Pearsall. I'm not quite sure that's going to be enough to beat Seattle up there, giving 1.5. So I might take them reluctantly, and I'm not even sure about going over 43-5. Although you would think it's a game that's keyed to do that. So I would probably go over rather than under. But I think over 43-5 in the Houston Rams game is a better bet.
Okay. I will point out that neither of those games are at 6 o'clock. But I will run through everything first. San Francisco 49ers at 6. No, it's the San Francisco 49ers at Seattle. Seahawks is at 9 o'clock.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
And the Texans at Rams is at 9:30. But all of that is absolutely you know what? Fine.
I was looking at local times, not Eastern times. Sorry.
It's fine because they are good games, because the late slot, you'll see more of it on Red Zone. But I do want to just run through the betting there, because the San Francisco 49ers are 8-11, the Seattle Seahawks are 11-10, 1.5 is the spread, 43.5 is the over-under. The Texans head to the Rams, it's 11-8 about the Houston Texans, the Rams are 4-7, it's a 3-point spread, and it's 43.5, as Mike mentioned, is the over-under. And Bengals-Browns, which John just jumped in and started doing Brown Town. I will let you know that it's 15-8 if you fancy the Cleveland Browns to win that game, which John kind of somehow sort of kind of wishes, hopes, and prays that they do. It's 5.5 spread, and it's 47.5 is the over under. Less than half an hour into the show before you turned it into Brown Town, Balf.
I'm surprised it took that long.
Yeah.
Well, we better move on. Yeah, we better move on quickly then. Let's go to Green Bay.
Okay, what do you got?
Well, Green Bay, Detroit at Green Bay. Detroit are 2.5-point favorites. The over-under is 47.5. You'll have to tell me what the
Lions 11-10, Packers straight 8-11. Up
right, okay. And this is, of course, Micah. I took a quick look on the updates, and right now they're saying Micah has a back problem, L4, L5, which is kind of halfway up the bottom of your spine, and they might have to give him an epidural or something similar if he plays. That doesn't give me much of a sense of hope for that, which would be interesting. But it would be a great matchup, because you'd have Micah Parsons and Gary against the best, maybe the best pair of tackles in the league, and Taylor Decker and Penei Sewell. And Parsons usually plays on the left side, so he would be going up against Sewell. And, you know, very quickly you could just watch and see if the Packers, Packers were to keep a back or a tight end in, or just go straight up and face them down. What I like in this game is that Detroit's got a really good offensive line, even with that surprise retirement of Frank Ragland. And they've got Hutchinson back and Marcus Davenport back as the pass rushers. And I think Isaac Tislah, the rookie, came out of nowhere after a couple of years in Arkansas, but went up all through April. Big guy with good hands, could make a real difference. And so I like them, even if Micah plays. I just think Detroit with 2.5 is irresistible. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's under 47.5.
Okay, just to run through that, Detroit Lions, God, oof, first fumble of the new show. Detroit Lions even are 11-10. The Green Bay Packers are 8-11. 2.5 spread, 7.5 is the over-under. Gentlemen, very quickly, I would say, and this is not an exact science, but generally on the old shatter, the two most popular teams for people who are listening were probably the Patriots and the Bears. In general, we have, of course, Bears, got some Pittsburgh really? Steelers fans, as they are sort of, yes, the Pittsburgh Steelers are also obviously had some watch parties in Dublin and a lot of people were watching them. But Mike, very quickly, just you may not have looked at it, but you are, of course, New England man. The Raiders at New England Patriots is very, very tight in the betting. It could even be pick'em by the time it kicks off. At the moment, it's 11-10. The Raiders and the Patriots are 3-4. Who would you expect to win? And does that necessarily mean that the better season will be had should a victory occur on Sunday for either or?
I think they'll have a better season regardless of that. But I'm not fully convinced that they're going to be good enough to beat Pete Carroll and Geno Smith. A lot depends. Drake May has better receivers, but not really proven receivers. The offensive line is better, but unproven. Virtually every part of the team is better on paper, but completely unproven. You know, home field advantage will help them. Red eye games, I always think it are worth an extra point or so to the home team. I would probably take the Patriots in this one, but I think the smart money's probably going to land with the Raiders.
Yeah, I think just to jump on top of that one, I think this is, I don't know if upset is the word. I favor the Raiders in this one for basically the same reasons that Mike says. There's a lot of, I think the market is a bit too high on the Patriots at the moment. There's a lot of hype around this new sort of iteration of the team, particularly with Drake May, who, you know, showed a lot of glimpses last season that he's going to be a good player for them, with Vrabel coming back, or Mike Vrabel coming back to lead the coaching staff. But at the same time, I just think, you know, if they're going to be good this year, they might be another one of those teams, particularly the offensive side of the ball. I think they're going to start slow because they're going to have to adjust to a new system. And like Mike says, with a great deal of new players in there as well. I just think that there's been sort of a boomerang effect with regard to the Patriots, because they've been so, well, maybe not from recent years, but they have been so successful historically over the last two decades that when they dropped now that they're showing signs of life again, at least on paper, I feel like the optimism has gone above and beyond where is reasonable for the amount, you know, for the talent of that they actually have within the roster. They're going to be a lot better than they have been in the last few years, one assumes. That is, if Mike Vrabel can actually get some sort of sense of cohesion into that team. But I just think that, like, particularly Mike mentioned Pete Carroll playing at home, you'd imagine, you know, he would have put his imprint on this Raiders team. Obviously, there's two new head coaches playing their first game there, so that's slightly a bit of a coin toss in that regard. But I just have a feeling that the Patriots' offense might start slow as they, like I said, as they adjust to the Mike Vrabel way of playing. One thing I'm looking forward to seeing is the running back they drafted in the second round from Ohio State, Trevion Henderson, who, as I'm sure many of the listeners will know, in the preseason he returned his first touch as a Patriot kickoff, a 99-yard kickoff return. So, I mean, I don't know if that's a sign of things to come or if that's a high watermark in the Patriots uniform, but I think we'll find out for sure one way, or certainly by the end of the season. But I think this should be a close game, but I'm leaning towards the Raiders in this one, and if that qualifies as an upset, so be it. But I think
not really, I don't think, but Henderson's going to be really good.
We have two games to go, one of which is, I promise, Bears fans. Yeah, we do get a lot of Bears fans. Yeah, they like us, we're very fair to their team. Is the Baltimore Bills, which could be one of the games of the absolute weekend, let's be honest. It's pick 'em, Balf. Do you want to start? Baltimore Ravens 5-6 by the Baltimore Ravens. The Buffalo Bills are 10 to 11. My screen has frozen. Can't tell you the over-under will in a few minutes, though, but you already probably know what it is.
I've got you the
over-under. Yeah, I can take the lead on that one, Kieran, if you like. Buffalo Bills at Baltimore Ravens. Money line is Ravens are 5 to 6. Bills are 10 to 11. This is the Betfair numbers, I should say. Ravens minus 1.5. Bills plus 1.5. And the over-under in this particular game is 50.5. So that is quite... I'm not actually sure if that is the largest over-under of the week. I didn't actually check that, but there's not going to be many larger than 50.5. So, this should be... it's two of the best teams right here in the AFC. This could be the championship game. It's very, very possible this could be. Ravens last season were number one in net yards per play, which is one of my notes are written here. So factor that into everything that you do. But I think the Bills, just to me, like Josh Allen, I'm actually both quarterbacks. But me, you can't really pick one above the other in this one. They're both outstanding quarterbacks, kind of for different reasons, obviously speaking. But I think neither of the teams, despite how good their quarterbacks are, they both kind of lack, in my opinion at least anyway, like a true top wide receiver one. And I think that matters more theoretically. Now, this is all theory because we have to kind of see football to make some firm opinions on this. But in theory, I think Lamar Jackson can handle not having a top receiver more so than a Buffalo Bills offense can have. And that is purely just because of the threat he poses with the ball in his hand in the rushing game. So just factor that into whatever you're thinking. The spread in this one of 1.5 suggests it's going to be a close game, and particularly with the over-under being 50.5, it looks like a close, or it looks like the betting markets at least say this is going to be a close and high-scoring game. And in those types of games, If that is the game script, if that is how it turns out to be, I just kind of think a Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry offense can probably be a little bit more effective than the Bills, particularly with the Ravens playing at home. So as much as I dislike the Baltimore Ravens as an institution, I'm going to go with them to win the game. And I'm just going to go with money line on this one because some of the numbers are a little bit strange. 1.5 is hard to pick and 50.5 is hard to pick as well. So I'd have this as a money line Ravens win.
Yeah, I think I'll take Buffalo and the point. And a half, not that it only does you good in a 1-point game, but there you go. Mostly because I'm curious to see, they built their defensive front up with three draft picks, 2, 3, and 4. They signed Joey Bosa as a pass rusher. It's going to, I think, be a different look, Bills team. And it better be, because they're facing the best rushing, the best 1-2 punch in the NFL in terms of rushing, which I think John's point is very well taken. But it's not winter in Buffalo. It's actually probably going to be summery in Buffalo. And I think that they'll be able to make that tight end kind of offense move pretty well. Teams are actually kind of similar in a way. James Cook being a very versatile back for Buffalo. So I'll take Buffalo with the 1.5.
Excellent. The last game is the Minnesota Vikings at the Chicago Bears. The Vikings are 5-6. The Bears are 10-11. 1.5 is the spread. 43.5 is the over under. Big game, Buff.
Yeah, it is indeed. I think I'll be brief on this one, but I actually didn't write down the betting info here. And so perhaps if you have that in front of you, that would be
very
helpful.
Yeah, 5-6. Vikings, Bears are 10-11. 1.5 is the spread. 43.5.
Okay, interesting. I think this... the Chicago Bears team should be much improved this season, particularly because of their offensive line looks a little bit more stout this season than it did last. One thing that I think could be perhaps the most significant sort of bullet point in this game, or the most significant factor to determine the outcome, will be, in my opinion, the debut of J.J. McCarthy playing quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings. He was, as I'm sure many people will know, he was a high draft pick for Minnesota coming in to replace Kirk Cousins, but then got a serious season-ending injury before the season began last year. So he missed out on the entire season, where he was supposed to be the anointed new quarterback one, or the leader of the Vikings offense. So there are still a lot of question marks about how he can. He's done a year in the league, he is effectively still a rookie. And, sometimes that goes one way and sometimes it goes the other. I do think he's a talented player. And look, he's throwing the ball to Justin Jefferson. So, there are no better receivers in the league to have as a quote-unquote rookie. So this is an interesting game. I think I would The turnover battle might be quite decisive in this NFC North clash, I think. But I have identified the Bears as a live underdog in this particular game, and I will just pick the Bears to win.
Brilliant. Before I get your best bets of the weekend,
You took the steam out of me because I also was going to pick the Bears. Rookie quarterback on the road, first start. Not necessarily that Caleb Williams has elevated himself to the start of, veteran, grizzled veteran. But I think Ben Johnson may be kind of hammering the offense in, and he certainly drafted to create an offense. He drafted Colston Loveland to be his Sam Laporta. He drafted Luther Burden to be Amon-Ra. They have Roe Madudzi, who I think is going to be a good one. He's got DeAndre Swift, who used to play for the Lions. So offensively,
DJ Moore is still there, I think, isn't he, as well?
They're pretty well set. The question is, Ozzie Trapillo, who was a right tackle at Boston College, is going to be probably playing left tackle for them, and that's a dangerous thing to do against the Vikings. But I think the pressures of that offense are going to affect Minnesota, who got a couple of really big beefs inside, Javon Hargrave and Jonathan Allen. So they're going to really need great play from the linebackers to deal with all that crisscrossing stuff, motion that Ben Johnson's going to run. I just have a feeling. Get it. And again, they're getting a point and a half too. So that's kind of like a 1-3 little M&M at the top of your ice cream, But there you go. I'm going to take Chicago in this one too.
Okay. Yes, apologies for coming in there early with my little segue, which will lead us into your best bets, so you guys can have a think about that. Normally, when this was NFL only better, of course, this would be a point where I would give some sort of commercial messaging for Betfair or something like that. But we obviously don't have commercial messaging, but we can if you become a sponsor of this brilliant new podcast. So if you are a worldwide company of any description, or a betting company, or any company really, or you're friends with someone who has a company and would like to sponsor an up-and-coming podcast with some very, very handsome people, please do, reach out to us. And we can do that. We take anything. I mean, I say anything. I mean, like if like the IDF came and offered, I think we'd have to think twice. But we would then say yes. John's not sure about that joke. We would. Who wants to go first for the best bets of the week?
I'll go quick. I'll leave the big finish for Mike, because my best bet is going to be one that I discussed earlier. I do think the Browns getting 5.5 points at home to a Cincinnati Bengals team that are notoriously slow starters. They're rivals. The teams know each other really, really well. They know how to play against each other really well. So I think that might go in the Browns' favor. So Browns getting 5.5 points at home against the Bengals is my best bet.
Okay. And I'm looking at a whole lot of competing best bets, but I think I'm going to go with Jacksonville getting up 3.5 to Carolina.
Okay.
Any particular reason?
Yeah. Is that enough of a tightrope for me to walk in week one?
Yeah. Normally you like a big long-winded thing about why you did your pick, like. That's just not happening this time, is it?
It's interesting because the two head coaches both come from 1 year at Tampa, quarterback whisperer to Baker Mayfield. And I just think that Liam Cohen is going to turn Jacksonville, who have more talent on the roster, into a functional team more quickly than Dave Canales. He's got a better place to start from. I think Jacksonville's ahead of an improved Carolina team. And Carolina was horrible on the road last year. I don't think they might be any better this year. So that was my thinking. I'm willing to go 3.5 to back it up.
That's a good one, I think.
I am going to the Atlanta Falcons. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers head to the Atlanta Falcons. The over-under is 47.5 5, and the over is 19 to 20, the under 17 to 20. I think it'll go over. The a traditionally high scoring game, if you look back through the records, the books at Falcons. And yeah, I just think that will go over. And obviously, I've always been a huge Baker Mayfield fan. He's like
over, you know, over how many?
47.5,
did you say?
Mm-hmm. Could be John Robinson. You got Bookie Irving, Baker Mayfield, Michael Penix Jr., Drake London, Mike Evans. List goes on.
Is Bookie Irving the guy you put your bets down with?
That's he's the new Bookie.
So thankfully,
it's Bucky.
Yeah,
Captain America.
It's like we're related to last.
The humor has to bring all the back podcast for anyway.
It's absolutely not. It's got worse. It's got worse. Miss Bedford could warn us about stuff.
I thought that was a pretty good out.
Absolutely. And and look, that is it now. John and Mike and I are just going to go away. We would next week like to do sort of a season preview show and then get back to our kind of our weekly show. We may look at doing some other sort of shows that we didn't do before as well with Betfair, because obviously Betfair just wanted one show a week. About things. So we'll take it away and we'll see what we want to do.
We have been unshackled. We are the captains of our own ship now, aren't we, Kieran?
That's exactly what I wrote for my outro. Now I have to come a new outro. So thanks for that, John. Yeah. Took the words right out.
The inmates have taken over the asylum.
There you go. Exactly.
Yeah, this is another way of doing it. But look, that is it for episode one. Thank you so much for joining us. If you just joined us for the first time and just wanted to listen and see what it's like, or you joined us from NFL Only Better and are following our calls, it's really wonderful. And thank you so much for joining us. John, thank you for your input today.
Of course, my pleasure.
As ever. And Mike, once again, wishing you all the best in the next couple of weeks with your health. And I'm sure all the listeners do too. And hopefully we'll get to see you really soon. I know, as you mentioned at the start, you're not coming over for the Dublin game. And I don't think you're going to the London games either. But hopefully, maybe there'll be another, maybe they'll be back in Dublin next year. And there's obviously the college game in Dublin. And
exactly.
And those London games are going nowhere, let's be honest. I mean, if anything, other than that. But look, the simplest truth is that, you know, the first step in a journey is always the most difficult. And we've took it now. We've decided to come out on our own. And here we are. So Any Given Game Day with Mike Carlson, please tell all your friends about it if you are an NFL fan. Subscribe to the channel. Rate us highly. Get us up those charts if you can. And look, we'll take it from here. We'll be always here for you as long as you're ready for us to listen. So my thanks to Mike. My thanks to John. We'll speak to you next week and enjoy what promises to be a really cracking NFL season, including, of course, a game in Dublin, which we cannot wait for. Bye for now.